Welcome to Church of the Living Word, featuring Senior Pastor Audie Claremont.
Amen. But I want to thank you guys so much for being sensitive to the Spirit. Listen, sometimes I think we get in such a hurry that we just don't sit in God's presence enough, and I would like to see us do more of that. And you watch what God's going to do. God can do more in 1 minute in your life than you can do in a lifetime. 1 minute, all it takes. God can turn things around if we'll just be obedient and sensitive to Him. So if everybody has an outline this morning, I want to talk. It's been a long time since I shared on evangelism. But I believe that we're at the crossroads, people, that we need to share the love of Jesus with our friends. Sometimes it's hard to do it with family, okay? But there's opportunities even there sometimes. I remember when I gave my life to the Lord that in high school, I witnessed to everybody. I was a witnessing machine. And that was a part of my life, just to witness to my friends. And you know what? I kept bringing my friends to church, and they'd get saved. And I'd show movies down in the basement. I asked the pastor one time, I said, "Hey, Pastor Perry, can I use the basement to show a film called Thief in the Night?" How many remember that old film called Thief in the Night? So anyway, it was about the rapture. And I would show it to my friends, and they'd be sitting there just totally frozen in fear, and they'd get saved. I don't know if it was just fear, but anyway, I would bring them there all the time and show the movie, and then they'd bring their friends, and I'd show the movie again, and they'd bring their friends, I'd show the movie again. And a lot of my friends came to the Lord because I had given my life to the Lord. Think of the people that had shared their faith with you, how you're here, or you shared your faith with them and they're here, or they're born again, or they may be in another church. But you shared the gospel. And it's time to testify. And I want to make evangelism so easy, because it is easy. And people have books after books. Well, you can do it this way. You got to memorize all this. You got to do this. No, all you got to do is share your story. 1 Peter 3:13. Let's look at this, people. This is a good scripture to verify a little bit of what Peter was talking about. It says, "Why would anyone harm you if you're passionate and devoted to pleasing God?" That's what I say. Why would anybody want to harm me? Because I love God. "But even if you happen to suffer for doing what is right, you will have the joyful experience of the blessing of God." Don't be intimidated or terrified by those who would test or terrify you. But give reverent honor in your hearts to the Anointed One, and treat Him as the Holy Master of your lives. And if anyone asks about the hope living within you, always be ready to explain your faith with gentleness and respect." Now, we're going to look at a few things here that I think will really help you. But if you ever asked a friend about one of the most important things of your life, you would talk about it with compassion and confidence. There wouldn't be anything less than that. No matter what it was, you would share with them with passion of something that was significant that happened in your life. That's because the events and the experiences that shape you or mold you are the ones that we share most of the time. Things that we've been through, things that we've seen, things what we've experienced. Now, if you were to, let's say, ask a hunter about a 10-point trophy deer he shot, okay? If you ask a hunter about that trophy that he shot, he will talk about it with lots of enthusiasm, okay? Could you imagine him saying, well, I don't really want to talk about it because I don't know that much about gunpowder. I don't think that's what he's going to do. He's going to share with you everything about that trophy buck that he shot. Now listen, if we are Christ followers, we are trophies of God's grace. We're trophies of God's grace. So God has done so much in our lives that why wouldn't I want to share it with somebody else? We may have been this person, may have been that person, maybe went through this, went through that, but God got a hold of our lives and he changes from glory to glory. I had a story to tell. I had a story to tell people about God, what he did for me, and how God changed my life, and God changed my life as an 18-year-old boy. Simon Peter compelled the first generation of Christians to witness. And he emphasized, there's some things that he emphasized that involves testimony, or what we may call witnessing for our Lord. So the first thing I want you to write down this morning is dealing with the courage or fear. A lot of times it's hard for us to share our faith because of we're dealing with courage or we're lack of courage or we're dealing with fear. How many have ever been afraid? Come on. You've been afraid to share your faith. And a lot of times that stops us from sharing about what God's done for us. If you'll notice in verse 14, it says, and don't be intimidated or terrified by those who would terrify you. I remember one time when we first gave our lives to the Lord, my brother, when he got saved, he was witnessing his friends at a party at a big kegger out in the park. And he went down and he started witnessing these guys, and this one guy just got really mad and started just slugging them and knocking them on the ground. And Rodney says to him, I remember this, he says, every time you hit me, God loves you even more, and I love you more, and it's never going to change anything. Finally, about the third or fourth time, he thought, maybe I better quit saying that. I've been getting knocked on the ground a little bit too much. But he started sharing with his friends, and he started leading his friends to the Lord. Was he terrified? No. You know what happened? When you start witnessing and people start maybe trying to terrify you or intimidate you, I have never felt God's power come on me the way it does. There's something about the Holy Spirit that comes upon you during a time that you're sharing your faith with somebody. He will give you the words you need to speak. Fear is one of the main reasons, people, that believers don't share their faith in Christ. We fear rejection. What if somebody doesn't listen to me? What if they reject me? We fear conflict, like something's going to happen where they're going to get mad, or I've been slugged in the face before. I've been intimidated by people before. But you know what? The Lord was with me. The gospel went forth. And you know what? The neatest thing about sharing your faith is, people, you don't have to share it with people that are not ready for it. Come on, you hear what I said? You just need to listen to the Holy Spirit and find those that are ripe on the vine. Those that are ready to listen. It's not wrong to pray and say, Lord, lead me to somebody that needs to hear about you. Then you may be sitting in a mall, you may be in a restaurant, you may be somewhere. Candy knows when we get in a restaurant sometimes, I'm going to witness to somebody. I just sense something about the person, and God's given me words for people before, and I've spoke words to them, and their eyes got really big. How'd you know? Because God told me. Oh. And you begin to share a little bit with them. But the thing is, we're scared. We fear embarrassment sometimes. We fear like we're going to suffer or something like that. Peter stressed the necessity of courage when he advised the believers not to be afraid or disturbed by those who oppose the gospel. Don't be afraid. Remember, like I said last week, courage is not the absence of fear, but the overcoming of it. overcoming fear in your life. And I have found that sharing your faith with somebody is really easy. It's easier than you think. But you know what? I believe the Holy Spirit will set people up so you have that opportunity to share with somebody. How many have ever been in a situation with a friend or somebody and you wanted to share Jesus with them, but the opportunity, just the door just kept closing? It just seemed like every time you were ready to talk to them, something would happen, or sometimes it can be the enemy too, but something would happen where you didn't have the freedom to share with them. And you said, oh, Lord, I had an opportunity to share, and I never had that chance to share Christ with them. Those things are going to happen, people. Remember, courage to testify or make a stand for Christ requires determination to honor him in spite of all the anxiety, intimidation, or threats. Look at Colossians 4:4. He said, that I may proclaim him fully and make it clear. Speak boldly and unfold that mystery as is my what? It's our duty to share the love of God. It's our duty. That's what God has called every Christian to do, is to share your faith with your friends. Share it with those that God opens the door to. Share it with those, and when the opportunity arises, don't be afraid to just open the door. Paul said this, I'm all things to all men that I may win some. He knew how to find common ground with people. Hunting can be a common ground. Fishing can be a common ground. No, baking goods or home economics, whatever, all these things can be a common ground with somebody. Finding that common ground with people and not shoving it down their throat, but sharing the love of the Lord. Just even saying, you know what, God loves you. And they'll be shocked and go, wow. And they're the ones that will open the door for you to share about Christ. And I think we've made it so hard and difficult when it's so easy. It's so easy to share with Christ. The Passion says this, pray that I would unfold and reveal fully this mystery. And that is my delightful assignment. So Paul said, that's my assignment. The mystery was the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, it's no longer was hidden. But that mystery was going forth throughout the whole earth. Can you imagine 12 men turning the whole world upside down, sharing their faith of what Jesus did for them? What Jesus, I believe in these last days, like in the new beginning of this year, I believe more and more people's hearts are going to be softened to hear the gospel. Yes, there's people that hearts are hardened against God, but there's people that hearts are soft towards God. And that's the opportunity to come to share. So, number two, write this down. Dealing with the being prepared issue. Now, I'm not sitting here talking about that you got to know 900 scriptures. You got to know all these different things. But being prepared to give something to somebody if they ask. Okay. When Candy and I were first married, we moved to Denver, Colorado, and we worked in Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge had, we were part of the coffee house ministry. Sometimes I would be open till 2, 3 in the morning. That's when it really got hot on the streets. Our coffee house was on Colfax Avenue, the longest continuous business street at that time in the world. I mean, it'd go forever. And there, during that time, you had every type of sin that you could imagine. Now that whole area is cleaned up. It's businesses. It's just totally different. But you'd have prostitutes. You had people walking the streets. And there would be times that I would stay open at 1:30, Candy, go to bed, I'm going to stay up. And people would still walk in, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'd have an opportunity to share Christ with some of them. Some were so messed up in drugs. I remember a lot of times that they would take the drugs and they would bring it and they would just flush them down the toilet. We're talking like, you know, Michael Dodd acid, all different sorts of things. I remember this one guy walked in, and he had been in an oil explosion. His whole body was burned. And he came in, and I shared God's love with him at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember tears, if he could try to have tears. I remember him looking at me, and he opened his hand. He had all these drugs. He said, I don't need these anymore. But just being available to share God. We used to go up and down the streets and witness to people and share the love of Christ with people. Yeah, there was people that would throw stuff at us and different things, but it made it even more exciting. You know, it's just like, oh, okay, this is getting good. But sharing with these people and sharing Christ with them, I never forgot that. But I remember I used to get up in the morning and I'd find all the scriptures I could and I would memorize scripture. And some of the scriptures I still remember to this day, they just come up with sharing with people. Listen, a lot of times we feel like we got to know all this to do. No, you don't. No, you don't. Look at verse 15. It says, and if anybody asks about the hope living within you, always be ready. Someone might come to you and say, Bill, why are you so happy and different? Why are you different? They're asking you of the hope that's within you. And you might be able to have an opportunity to say, well, let me tell you about God's love. What God did for me. And your testimony is one of the greatest gospels you could ever share. And then when you share your testimony of what Jesus did for you, it opens up a great door for them to come to salvation. They come to Jesus. The command was always be prepared is a challenge to remain alert, ready to testify at any moment. Well, let me tell you about God. You might be doing something totally different. And someone might be hurting or say something about, well, you know what, I've just had a bad day. Well, let me tell you about God's love. And you begin to share, you know what, I had a bad day too. But you know, when I found out, when I asked the Lord to help me, he helped me. And what? That's witnessing. That's testifying. It's not going through the Gospels and the whole book in the Old Testament and going through all this, but it's sharing with them what you've experienced yourself in a practical way. Does that make sense? Colossians 4:6. Let's look at this, people. Let your speech at all times be gracious, pleasant, and winsome, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may never be at a loss to know how you ought to answer anyone who puts a question to you. How many of everybody ever asked you a question about what you believe? Yeah. What an opportunity. And sometimes we just go, well, I really don't want to talk about it. But that's when you really need to talk about it. That's when you look at the passage. It says, let every word you speak be drenched with grace and tempered with truth and clarity. For then you will be prepared to give a respectful answer to anyone who asks about your faith. Now, when I look at these scriptures, it's talking more about an attitude in our heart than anything else. You notice that? Being prepared to not to wham somebody and just blast them with the gospel, but just to be able to say, you know what? With grace, and people go through so many different things in their life, they already feel judged, they already feel beat up, they already feel condemned. Well, this person's just going to condemn me because I have a lesbian lifestyle, I have a homosexual lifestyle, or I'm a drug addict, or I'm all these different things in my life. And so they already are waiting for the Christian to judge them and condemn them already. But that's not what God called us to do. He told us to give them good news. Good news that God can forgive all of our sins, no matter what that sin is. No matter what they've been through, what they've dealt with, we can give them an answer in gentleness and full of grace. Now, how many have ever had people come up to you and witness to you and just hellfire and brimstone? I used to play stupid sometimes in the streets, and I'd walk up and I'd see these guys preaching, and they're preaching hellfire and brimstone. And I would act like, that they knew nothing about me being a Christian. And I would walk up to them and I would ask them, Oh, how do I get saved? I just like to play with them, just to mess with their minds. But a lot of times, the people that start preaching the hellfire and brimstone, they're all going to hell, people don't want, they're not going to listen to that. But when you start sharing with them about what God has done for you, with compassion and grace and humility, what God has done in your life, they're going to listen to what you have to say. Why? Because they see it. They see it. They feel it. They know that they can't deny the truth of what God has done for you in your life. Opportunities that come along can be of great importance. Exalting Christ the Lord enables us to get every a moment that we can testify for him, people. Look at 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word of God urgently at all times. Whenever you get the chance, in season and out, when it is convenient and when it's not. Now, this has a lot to do with, you know, teaching and preaching and everything else, but I also believe it has a lot to do with sharing your faith. Being ready to share your faith. Billy Graham wondered if he missed a golden opportunity one time to witness to President John F. Kennedy. Following the 1963 National Prayer Breakfast, Kennedy eagerly wanted to talk to Graham and invited him to come to the White House. Graham was fighting a fever. He didn't feel well. He asked if he could talk some other time. President Kennedy understood, but Graham sadly acknowledged that it was the last time he was with that president. That's when he died. He realized the opportunity was an irrecoverable lost moment. How many opportunities do we have, but we lose those moments to share Jesus Christ? When Candy and I first met, I went to we were at some people's house and we were having some fellowship. I think that was our first date. Well, we weren't even dating then. But that just when I met you, a little bit after that. Well, we were at this place, and I remember these kids went upstairs, and they started drinking, a bunch of teens. They started drinking and got noisy up there. And I stopped. I said, hang on. I'm going to go upstairs. So I went upstairs, and the kids are all in the room. And I started to share the love of God with these kids. And all of a sudden, they started asking questions. And I remember one of the boys said to somebody, to the girl that was her parents' house, tell Audie I would like to talk to him. I went back to Bible school that weekend, and I had found out within that week that boy had died. Now, it brought condemnation. It crushed me. I felt like I lost my opportunity to lead him to the Lord. But I shared the gospel that night, and I shared it with those kids. I don't know if I talked about accepting Jesus Christ. They asked questions and stuff like that. I think I did. But I remember the enemy coming in there and making me feel, Bill, like I was a piece of garbage because I let this boy die without Christ. That's how the enemy will work. Brought all this condemnation. He was sitting in the back of a car, and he was taking Pam, shooting it in a bag, and inhaling it, and it shut his lungs down and killed him instantly. And did he go into eternity without Christ? I don't know. Did he make Jesus Lord of his life? I don't know. But I had the opportunity to share Christ with this boy. And there's been ever a lot of opportunities, people, that I've had, and there's a lot of opportunities I missed, like we all do. Does that mean that God brings condemnation? No, it doesn't. It means that we get back up and we keep sharing about the love of Jesus. And I remember after that incident, I would never allow the enemy to bring condemnation to my life again. Number 3, write this down. dealing with the reason or explanation issue. Verse 15 says, always be ready to explain your faith. See, Christianity is a very practical and realistic faith because it provides God's answers to sin, suffering, and death. No other religion does. Sometimes we as believers want to postpone or we delay testifying until all the conditions or opposition stop or situations are resolved. There's never a perfect time. It's always the right time to share your faith. Always the right time to explain your faith. Peter instructed was to give reason or the explanation for the hope or the faith that's in you. Is a challenge to all of us. It's a challenge to us to declare the trustworthiness of the gospel regardless of oppositions or threats in our life. In the New Testament, the word hope is not an unclear, delicate wish. You know what hope is? It's a strong confidence, trust in what is desired. They're going to ask you why you believe what you believe. They're going to ask you for the hope that's within you. Why are you so hopeful? What did you ever get bugged about all the stuff that's happening in the world? And why are you always smiling? I remember I was working in construction, and I was sitting there at a break time, and all these guys were sitting around and talking, and they're talking about this. And finally, one of them looked at me, and he said, Claremont, you'd never get bent out of shape about anything. Well, they really didn't know me that well, but I was doing good at that time. And they said, but you, all this stuff that happens and these foremen are yelling and screaming, you just sat there with a smile on your face and you just smile away. It was a lot of prayer. Because when I would leave Denver, Colorado, and drive all the way to Fort Collins. It was 73 miles one way to go to the hospital, Poudre Valley Hospital. We were remodeling and painting, doing wall covering and all this. And I would drive every morning. That was my prayer time. I'd leave at 5:15 in the morning and drive one way, 73 miles. And I prayed all the way. I prayed for those guys' salvation. I prayed. Did I ever mess up and blow it? Yeah, I did. But I asked him for forgiveness. I asked him, I said, you know, I'm not perfect. I love God. Please forgive me. And you know what? That was more respectful to them. They didn't think anything of it because I was repentant about it. But I would have the opportunity to share when they asked me of the hope that's within me. I was able to share it with them. Well, oh, come here, happy. What? Let me tell you about God's love. Let me tell you what God did for me. And you begin to share with them about God's love. You begin to share with them for the reason of the hope that's within you, the trustworthiness. The object of such faith is the dependability and the trustworthiness of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our Savior. Number four, write this down. Dealing with respect issue. Now, we talked a little bit about this. Verse 15, it says, explain your faith with gentleness and what? I'm not going to come and shove it down your throat. There's some people I wanted to go to and say, you're just going to hell, period. And not be nice about it. They were so mean. But I couldn't do that. There's only one person, one time, that I stressed hell so strong with this person. Only one person. And that's what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And I just laid it on the line about heaven, about hell, for eternity with this person. And finally, he looked at me, and it clicked. Everybody was sharing, you know, God loved him. He knew that. But when I shared with him eternity, all of a sudden it clicked in his mind and he goes, I never thought of that. The Holy Spirit was able to take that. But the majority of the time, people, unless it's the Spirit of God directing you to say something different, testifying about Christ in a condescending manner is not approved by the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a result, Peter wrote that we are to be gentleness and respect. Colossians 4:6 says this, when you talk, you should always be kind and wise. Now, you notice the word wisdom is in there? Because God will give you wisdom in every situation of what to say. He'll give you the words. And you will be able to answer everyone in the way you should. So before you ever speak to somebody, say, Holy Spirit, I need wisdom in this situation of what to say. Give me the words. And God will give you the words to say. In gentleness and respect. Proverbs says a soft answer turns away wrath. I have found the more you argue with people, and the louder they get. And the louder they get, the louder you get. The louder you get, the louder they get. But what I've found, that gentleness and a soft answer and respect calms it down. So these are areas, people, that are just some things to show you that testifying and witnessing for the Lord is so simple. Why am I sharing this message? I haven't shared a message like this in a long time. I believe the time is right for us to start sharing our faith with people. No matter where you're at, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you an opportunity to share with somebody. Like I said, you might be able to just say that God loves you to somebody and I'm praying for you. That's all you need to say. There's a time to speak and there's a time to back off and allow the Spirit to take the seed that you have spoken and let it be watered by your prayers. There's so many people that need to hear about the love of Jesus. That's why every year at the Blessing of the Bikers, our goal is to serve and to share the love of Jesus Christ with these people. They understand condemnation already. They already know that they're probably going to hell. But that's not what we're here for. We're here to show them the love of God and how God wants to spend eternity with them, have fellowship with them, and have a relationship with them. It's not about religion, but it's about a relationship with a God that loves us so much that he wants to have that fellowship. That's the gospel. It's not hard. It's very easy. So I'm going to give you a challenge this week. Well, maybe I'll make it for this month, okay? I'll give you a little grace. So your challenge is for this month, one time, is to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you one person to share your testimony of what God's done for you. And I can just see some of you just quaking in your boots right now. Pastor, don't do that to me. Yeah, I'm going to do it to you. I want to get you out of your box of comfort. Come on. I want you to get it, and I'm going to tell you, it becomes contagious. Once you do the first one, it gets easier and easier, and pretty soon you're a preaching machine for Jesus Christ. I'm not kidding you. Sometimes it's hard to get, but once you step out and you begin to share, you're going, ah, this isn't so bad. Until somebody tells you to shut up and leave them. And then you go, okay, moving on to the next. But I want to challenge you this month, and I'm going to ask you, honey, remind me, okay? Al, remind me. I'm going to ask you at the end of February, Yeah. Your testimony of what you did that month. Now, I'm talking one person in a month. You can do it. You can do 10, 20, whatever. One person. Might be a friend of yours that you've been wanting to share with, or somebody that you really feel like you need to share with, and you haven't done it. But I'm telling you, it's so simple. And I know a lot of you in this place, everybody in this place, I know that you share your faith from time to time. I know that. But what I'm talking about today, and I believe the Lord is in this, is that we begin to share more of our lives and our testimony with people. You notice how Jesus witnessed? He never compromised the truth, never. But he always drenched it in an attractive style. He made it exciting. He used wisdom or salt in how he addressed and he answered everybody. To the woman at the well, he spoke authoritatively, but he was tender towards her. He sat down at the well. Jews never talked to the Samaritans, never. They were the half-breeds or whatever, intermarrying people, and they wanted nothing to do with them. Here, Jesus goes to Samaria, and he sits down at the well waiting for a drink of water. And a woman comes, and he asked her for a drink. She goes, oh, you're asking me for a drink, a Samaritan to a Jew? And Jesus said, if you would know who you were talking to, you would understand. He said, let me tell you about the living water. And then she went on and on and on about her gods and different things, that the way they worship and this, and the Messiah and all this different thing. And he said, he you're talking to is the Messiah. But every step that you read, and if you ever read that, you see the step that Jesus did. He kept it back, kept bringing it back to the truth. People go off in tangents, but he kept bringing it back. And then he brought up what was in her life. He said, she said, I have to go tell my husband. He said, oh, you've had 5 husbands, and the one you're living with is not your husband. And so she's going, how would he know this? So she knew that he was the Messiah because he spoke everything that she was doing. He didn't condemn her. He shared the love, his love with her. And then she went and brought everybody. And let me tell you about a man that told me all these things. Brought the whole town, and the whole town came to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus knew how to talk to people, to bring things up at the right time, to get them to realize that they have need of a Savior. But he always said, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. That was his command. Go and sin no more. The woman that was caught in adultery, everybody wanted to condemn her and beat her up. It sounds like sometimes the church sometimes, we want to condemn and beat everybody up for where they're at in their life. Not Jesus. He said, he that's without sin, cast the first stone. And he said, where are your accusers? She said, they're not here, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He just said, stop it. Repent. Don't go and sin anymore. And I believe that woman never did. I believe she stayed strong with the Lord. So when Jesus witnessed, he spoke tenderly, but he was also very authoritative when it came to the truth. To the rich ruler, he answered with confidence, and he countered the man's uncertainty with an invitation to get saved when the rich young ruler came to him. But I want to close with this. Sharing or testifying for Jesus, what Jesus did for you and I, is one of the greatest ways to reach the heart of those around us. It's the greatest way. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak, and he wants you to just trust him that God will take you step by step in sharing his love with people. That's how simple it is. It's not hard, people, to testify what Jesus has done for you. So my challenge for you this month is to share your faith with somebody. To share your love, share the love of Jesus with somebody, and to share your faith. Let's pray. Keith, you have another song? I really believe, people, that this message was very timely for where we're at in our life. There's people that are going into eternity without Christ. And we have a responsibility and a duty, not in condemnation, but out of love, to share Jesus with these people. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never, ever made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, I'm here to testify to you about God's goodness. We serve a good God, and he loves you. He wants a relationship with you, but you have to make the decision to have a relationship with him. You have to make the first move and repent of your sins and ask the Lord to be your Lord and Savior. He will not force it on you. Maybe some of you have walked away from God. Maybe you're not serving him the way you should. Maybe you're in rebellion. Maybe you're in resentment. Maybe you're angry. Maybe you're so messed up you don't think God will forgive you. But I'm here to tell you that God's forgiveness is here. This is your opportunity this morning to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I've been Lord of my own life for so long that I want you to be Lord. I surrender all this hurt. I surrender all this pain. I surrender all this rejection. I surrender all these things that I'm dealing with in my life, these troubles, these sorrows, these addictions that I feel like I can't quit. I surrender them to you and ask you to take ownership of my life. Can you do that? And if that's you, and you mean it with all your heart, I want to see your hand, that you're ready to say, Jesus, I'm tired of the way I'm living. I need a new life, and I need a breakthrough. Anybody here? This is a great opportunity. Amen. Anybody else? Great. Amen. Anybody else? This is no condemnation, but this is the time to say, Lord, I just surrender to you. I'm done carrying this thing. I'm done carrying it. And if you mean that, ask Jesus right now. You ask him and say, Jesus, I am so sorry. I've tried so hard to do this myself. I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. I surrender my life to you and make you Lord of my life. And I ask you to come in. Forgive me for my sins of my whole life. Blood wash them clean. I repent of those things, and I ask you to forgive me. And I choose to follow you and make you Lord of my life. Jesus, come into my heart as Lord and Savior. As I'm saying this, just be asking the Lord to do this. I want you to pray. I want you to pray with your own words and ask him. He will come in and he will live inside you and he will forgive you. We thank you. Keith, go ahead. Let's worship the Lord.
Draw me close to you. me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to
all worshiping
you.
People.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. You're all I want, Lord. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Draw me close to you, draw me close, Lord. Never let me go. Hold me close, Lord. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire, Lord Jesus. No one else will do, 'cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your find a way, Lord, bring me back to you. Lord, bring me back to you, closer than ever, 'cause you're all I want. Sing it. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. You're all I want. Sing it again. 'Cause you're all I want. Lord, I raise my voice. 'Cause you're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me know you are near.
Real quick, people. I just want to share a real short story with you. Kenny and I used to work in San Francisco. I used to work on the streets with the junkies, the prostitutes, the homosexuals. Every outcast that people have outcast in society. And we went, five of us ministers went to minister in San Francisco on the streets. We blocked off streets that never been blocked in the history of San Francisco. We held crusades. We went out at night into the streets, played our guitars, and sang to people on the streets, sharing the love of Jesus. And I remember we were taking people in sometimes that were living on the streets, and we were helping them get through, discipling them. And I remember a guy by the name of Gino. And I just learned this not too long ago. This was back in 1978. And Gino was one of those guys that gave his life to the Lord. He struggled with alcohol, but he knew about Jesus. Many people came off the streets. They found Christ. They're still serving Christ today. I know that for a fact after close to 40 years. But someone went down and they were saw Gino downtown and he was struggling and said, Gino, you need to, you know, just get back with the Lord and serve him and just honor the Lord. And he was just really struggling. A week later, they went down and he had been killed in an alleyway by somebody had killed him. And one of the guys had that witnessed to him had found him in the alleyway dead. You never know. You never know. Just like John F. Kennedy with Billy Graham, you'd never know that that could be that person's last hour. Be sensitive, but don't be afraid to share your faith. Don't be afraid. Many, many testimony after testimony after testimony of people that have went home to be with the Lord the next day after salvation. Unbelievable. You hear stories. It was the right time, the right place, and the Holy Spirit sets it up. And my challenge to you is just be sensitive to the Spirit of God and say, yes, Lord, no matter the cost, God will direct you. Amen. God will lead you. Now, those that of you that lifted your hands for salvation or surrender, no matter what, God heard you. God heard you. We don't have to go through a formula. He knows your heart. He heard you. Stand strong for him. Read your Bible and pray. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. And go to church. Go to church. Get in a church. And let people love you. Amen. Father, this morning we thank you for the opportunity to share your love with people. Lord, I pray in this room today, every person under my sound, that you will help them to be the greatest testifiers of the gospel. Lord, let us turn this town upside down. Let us turn our places where we work. Let it be a testimony for you. Let it be a domino effect, one right after the other. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share your love with those that don't know you. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Give the Lord praise. Amen.